Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
As always, this episode of the Spurs Show podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Make Green King your go-to destination for the season's final stretch. Why? For one, you can wash every televised Spurs game down with delicious food and refreshing beverages. And with 900 sports clubs dotted around the UK, chances are you're within walking distance of your local Green King. Let's be honest, watching football is way better with friends and family. So get the squad together for every televised Premier League fixture in an atmosphere worth sharing. That includes huge title showdowns, the race for Euro qualification, and nail-biting relegation six-pointers. And don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts wherever there's a game on. Around the world, welcome. It's this week's edition of the Spurs Show. Mike Lee here this week. Thank you so much for joining us, wherever you are. Two stalwarts joining me tonight on, it could be a thoroughly depressing show, but I'm sure with these two hilarious guys, everything will be fine. Joining us from Talk Sports, the broadcaster, the comedy writer, Paul Hawksbee. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks, Mike. Not so bad.
Nice
been better,
you.
Thank you. You gave me about four or five alternative dates for this, and I don't want to do the one after the Arsenal game. So I thought, do the 15th. I think we can get a point at Newcastle. How did that work out?
Exactly. And also joining us, the football agent Simon Dent. How are you, Simon?
Yeah, great, thank you. Yeah, similar to Paul, I usually get the nod after a Chelsea game, which I always think pre-Chelsea game, that's a great show to do. But yeah, in 28 years, it's only been good once.
God almighty, there we are. Well, obviously today, ladies and gentlemen, we will have to look back at the game at Saturday lunchtime. But never fear, there is a bit of a good side with the women's team reaching their very, very first FA Cup final. Absolutely marvellous. So we will certainly talk about that. And no game next weekend. But no doubt the three of us will be talking about the huge game coming up against the Woolwich. Paul, when I did the show last week, we were looking back at the Forest game. And I remember saying in that episode, I think it was more the first half, we look very open when we lose the ball, the turnover, they're getting behind us. We really need to shore that up against the better teams. We clearly didn't. All those problems came back in against Newcastle. Someone sort of said, oh, we're not going to lose 6-1 again. Well, you know. Oh. It could have been.
It could have been 7 or 8, the amount of chances.
It could have been. And, you know, looking back at our away form, Aston Villa aside, which was, without doubt, the performance of the season, you look back from Christmas away, West Ham 1-1, Fulham lose 3-0, Everton 2-2, United 2-2, Brighton lose 4-2. Do you think coaches are now finding us out, knowing how to play against this system? Or do you think Ange's system relies on certain players, good players that we effectively don't have yet across the board to play his style of football?
Look, when the system sings, it's very, very effective, but the margins are so fine. I mean, everything has to be right for it to work. And when it isn't, we saw what we saw. I think the two worst were Fulham and yes. I mean, we found different ways. We lost the Everton game because we're not great at defending set pieces, and that's not improving, which is a concern, as we saw. I mean, Newcastle could have scored with 5 or 6. That was the only reason we've not let in more goals from set pieces has been, you know, bad finishing as opposed to good defending. So that is a concern. But Fulham and Newcastle were very, very similar, just overrun. They're just a non-existent midfield. Once they play through the press, till you get to the back four, which generally means Mickey van der Ven, there's nothing. It's just a void. And that is the biggest problem we got. I mean, I did feel for van der Ven the other day. He's 22-year-old player, and he's been brilliant all season. You know, he was due a bad game. It didn't go well for him, but he's massively exposed. We just rely on his recovery pace so much in every game that you're asking an awful lot of a young player to always get you out of jail. So I think it's a lot of different things, but I do think the system, when it's right, it works brilliantly and is very hard to coach against. When it doesn't, as Eddie Howe proved the other day, in a pretty simple method, they hardly had any of the ball. 27%. They were always effective.
And it's the lowest percentage of a team winning a Premier League game with 27%.
Yeah, possession. To score that many 4-0. Goals. To score 4-0. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they were just clinical. They were very good. And they just, they played us. I mean, I think he was out-coached, really, Ange, the other day.
Mm. Yeah, Simon, I remember Man United at home early on in the season, which we won. I think we won 2-1 from memory. I'm one of the first home games. I remember that game, me and Rob Easton talking and saying, yeah, great, but God, we other teams get to our back four very quickly, don't they, in a move? Because they were going through the midfield. And I was like, well, don't worry. Obviously, that will be sorted out. And in fairness, he did sort it out. And then we had all the injuries. And I think a lot of people have been saying, since that Chelsea game, have we been as good? Villa game aside, I argue we haven't. It looks like, at the moment, he doesn't know his best... We know our best defence because we ain't got much else. We know our best forward line because we ain't got much else. But in midfield, clearly he... And I know we've had injuries, but clearly he doesn't know what his best midfield is. Sarr looked like was almost one of the first names on the team sheet. He is out of favour for... Again, he might be carrying injuries or a young guy overrun. It's just gone a bit awry, isn't it? It's got a bit of a mess.
We've had the most combinations of midfield from any team in the Premier League, which
is
quite an interesting statistic. Obviously, enough of them have been forced on us. I think Sarr's out of the back injury at the moment, but I know that, you know, obviously we've had injuries across the midfield all season. But, yeah, I'll go back to your point about that Chelsea night. There was a stage there, wasn't there? I think at the beginning of Jan, I think it was the second weekend of Jan, when we went to Old Trafford and I went to that game, and that felt like a really big, strong performance, a fighting performance that we really turned up and gave it to them and actually should have won that day. And I thought we were going to kick on. But the thing that I'm most alarmed about over the last fortnight has just been there was an Eric Dier interview, I don't know if you saw it, ahead of the game, where he spoke about the lack of basically tactics throughout the week in training, which is interesting. But then it's also quite alarming because I'll make the case that even though I am calling for patience, I do feel that none of our players have got better this season.
Interesting. Really what of our existing, as opposed to the new players that have come in?
I don't think any player has improved this season. I think if you look at the first 10 games, you can make the case that everyone has got worse and therefore the performance has got worse. And if you marry that up with the fact that we're getting players saying they're not being coached tactically, that is a bit of alarm. I don't agree with the whole, oh, he's only coached in Scotland and Japan. And he clearly is a very good manager of people. But I do worry about the development of the players because it seems to be going backwards at the moment.
I mean, you say that, but playing devil's advocate here. We, at this stage of the season, have more points than the last 5 seasons. We have scored more and conceded 2 less, certainly, than last season. So if you're looking at stats and points, and let's face it, points mean prizes, we have improved the style of football has without a doubt improved. Players have come in and have gone straight in. Young players have come straight in and gone straight in the team and done well. I'd argue that Pedro Porro has improved. I think it's one player I think has probably improved. I mean, we kind of looked at him and sort of said, oh, how's he going to fit in the system? He kind of has. Do you think, I mean, I'm sure Paul Levy is going to give him time. I think as we record this today, I think we'll finish fifth. I don't think fifth would be good enough for Champions League because what's going on in Europe. I personally think us finishing playing in the Europa League is no mean thing. I don't think this squad is anywhere near ready a Champions League push. And surely after last season when we finished, was it eighth under Conte? Finishing fifth, I think, with the style of football we've been playing largely, it's got to be looked at as a successful season. I mean, it could still go wrong. We've got some huge games coming up. We could lose all of them and then it could go horribly wrong. But where would you put in his debut season, and you look back at previous coaches and their debut seasons, where, just looking at that, where would you put him, Paul?
No, look, I haven't got a downer on him. I think, you know, it is his first season. He hasn't really maybe got all the personnel that he needs to play the way he wants to play, ideally. And you're right, it's not all doom and gloom. We've watched some good football. There are a few little red flags, as we've just sort of touched on. But generally, I think, look, look, we know he's got a way of playing and he is not going to compromise on that. And he was taken on that basis. And I think that sixth position is really key. I think they have to go out and make a real statement signing. It's whether the chairman is prepared to do that. And I was a bit troubled by Ange Postecoglou saying recently, we'd never go out and spend £100 million on a player. I'm thinking ideally you don't want to do that, but Arsenal did with Declan Rice and look at the difference it made. Sometimes you have to go out and make, he said, I'd rather buy two £50 million players. Okay, Davinson Sanchez and Tanguy Ndombele, there's two £50 million players for you. I mean, it doesn't always work like that. If there was a player that Tottenham really needed that could transform that team, you know, why not do something like that? The chairman has tended not to, but I think it's a personnel thing. I think there's some players there that aren't quite good enough for the system. I mean, another noticeable thing the other day is we really don't have an out ball now. The ball doesn't stick, does it, when we are under pressure? We lost that with Kane. Sonny seems to get on the ball. Sometimes, you know, often he'll run into traffic, and that seems to be a bit of an issue. But, I mean, I'm not, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I think we have to have a right to criticise. It's not a cult. We have got a right to say, you know, we still think this is a good manager and there's some teething problems. We might not agree with everything he does. I don't think you'd ever do that with a manager. But, I mean, broadly, I'm still having him, and I hope most fans are as well.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, a lot has to be done in the transfer window, which we assumed will happen. A lot's been talked about. We had Sean Singleton on last week going through all the finance of Tottenham. We're in a very, very good place financially. Levy again is saying all the right things, certainly to the press, about what we want to do and stuff. Obviously, Champions League, Europa League is a big difference in terms of money, but which obviously is very, very important to the club. But regardless of which European competition we end up in, we will have European football next season, I don't doubt. And, you know, the other problem we all saw, and it was slightly dispelled because we're sharing the goals around, was the Kane position. But as again we saw on Saturday, Tomlinson, legend that he is not an out-and-out centre-forward. Richarlison still has his injury problems. That surely, Paul's already said, we've got to get number six in. Absolutely. I mean, I would have done anything last season to get Declan Rice in, but we didn't. An out-and-out striker, there's talk of this Jimenez guy at Feyenoord is one thing. Ivan Toney is obviously will be available. Who would you try and go and get, or do you think Richarlison is good enough to play in that position?
I mean, I think we need, the six, a striker and a left-sided centre-back, I think are probably top of the list. Toney is probably going to be highly sought after for a number of reasons this summer, so I'm not sure the club would do that. And then you've also got the issue And if you have a good Euros, if Tony goes to Euros and has a good tournament, then it's probably going to be out of the club's.
But surely a deal could be done on the quiet before the Euros. Surely a deal could be a pre-contract written up.
But Brentford probably wouldn't do that. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to say, isn't it? But look, I think the number six, I really want Bissouma to work. It's been ups and downs, but I'm starting to now think that he's probably not the person. And then it does look like we are going to build a team around Van de Ven and Romero. And I wouldn't say he's injury prone, but he had a bad game and that was a blip on Saturday, I think. But when Mickey isn't playing, it's a real vulnerable spot. So yeah, those three positions, I couldn't tell you a left-sided centre-back could be available. But listen, we've had a good track record in the last sort of 18 months of bringing players in. I don't think previous to that, there were quite a few duds floating around with all due respect, but I think the club's actually got the transfer market pretty spot on in the last 18 months. So we have to trust them.
Hmm. Yeah, Paul, what do you think? You were nodding away there.
I would like to try and get Tony. I'll take what Simon says. It would be Brentford will probably think if Ivan Tony goes to the Euros and has a good one, then there'll be more.
He's not going to start, though, is he? He's not going to start the Euros.
No, he's not. No, he's not going to start, but he could have a lot of an impact from the bench, and there could be more teams from around the world who would show an interest. I don't know what his agents. I believe he's got the agents, Simon, you probably know. So the agents that he's with are quite close to Tottenham. I don't know if that ever has any bearing on it, but that's what we always hear.
We always like to think it does, but it really does, to be honest.
Yeah. No, probably not. It's where the best deal is, I guess. I think he'd be great for us. I mean, he links play really well. I think if Richarlison was fit to start every game, which he rarely is, I mean, I like him. I think he'd be a great squad player. And when you see him finish the way he did against Everton with those two goals, you think, man, there's a player in here.
He's a player there.
We just rarely see it. He flits in and out of games. I mean, part of the problem has been something they've talked about, rhythm of games. Very stop-start, we've got that again. Players getting injured, players getting suspended, not getting a rhythm as a team. And Maddison is a kind of good example of that. He's nowhere near where he was for the first 10 games. He looks quite frustrated. I was talking to Perry Groves on the show today, and he said the biggest problem is that Adoghi and Porro get in his way. Mm. They're just it's so congested anyway. Everybody plays so narrow against Tottenham that if it's not enough for him to contend with opposition players, and it's like traffic everywhere. He's got his own players closing in on him, which hasn't helped. And he's getting involved in stuff the way he did with Yates last week. He's putting in naughty tackles, which has always been a part of his game. But, he just needs to concentrate on playing as opposed to all the peripheral stuff. That's been a frustration. And, quite a few of those players are just not at the level they were. We got spoiled so much by those first 10 games. And that's the marker we have now, but we probably have to let those go. I think coaches have found a way to get at us. And as I said, when it does work perfectly, it doesn't matter what they do. But when it doesn't, we get gubbed as we did against Fulham and Newcastle.
I mean, look at the goals, Simon. Just going back to the goals. Again, this season, we seem to be slipping a lot at the wrong time. There was a slip at the back, Porro with a blind pass, free header again. You could argue 3-0, the game is over. A long ball over the top again for the third one. They're not even, I don't mind losing to good goals. If you concede a good goal, you go, well, that's a great goal, that's a worldie, fair enough. But we're not losing to good goals. We're giving goals away, which obviously, as Tottenham fans, we're used to seeing over the years. And that's a frustration. And what I haven't seen in some of these away defeats, I haven't seen a reaction. I'm getting quite bored of hearing players post-conference on Tottenham TV, whatever it is, going, oh, no, we're going to... And then there isn't one. That's also a frustration.
Yeah, I think as well, there were some good finishes. I didn't watch the game live, but I've caught the highlights today. And there were some good finishes, but you're right. There were a couple of individual errors. I think the set piece is a problem. And again, we are, for whatever reason, one of the only clubs in the top half of the table doesn't employ a set-piece coach, and Andrew's come out and said that he doesn't want to. And I think there was that sort of spell of games, wasn't there, where Vic was getting rattled all the time and we weren't getting the decisions, and then it sort of stopped a bit. But actually now we're just conceding heavily from set, not heavily, but we concede a lot from set pieces. Mm. It's just at this level, not acceptable. So, yeah, I'm a bit worried about the goals conceded. But, yeah, when you're conceding and then not scoring, you end up heading in the wrong direction, don't you?
Hmm. We probably need to talk about Werner, don't we, as well? I mean, it's 15 million quid. It's whether it's 15 million quid well spent. I mean, I'm staggered that Chelsea bought him as a striker. I look at him and I can think of a less instinctive striker if you tried. I mean, the two opportunities he had.
He had a good one early on at 0-0. Early one, 0-0, he skied over the bar.
The first one, and then he could head that, but he just...
Got to head that, hasn't he? It's a head height.
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's at a good height. Just slightly dip and head it. And then the other one, just open up your body, and he opens it too much, and it ends up just being a pass to nowhere. And we've... You know, that's... He's just instinctively not great in front of the goal. He's great running from the left. He's quick, and he offers that pace, and he's putting some decent passes. But as a finisher, I mean, we really can't rely on him. So we have to wonder whether that's 15 million quid added to maybe the Tony money.
Mm, yeah, I also think we you know, when you look at our sort of when we do score goals, I think we're looking a bit predictable going forward. Mm, most of our attacks now, the ball goes wide, Johnson crosses it, one of them slide ball pass, a player comes in. Don't get me wrong, we've scored most of our goals that way. But if you're a coach, you know, playing against us, you know that's the move. We don't seem to have much variety in attacking moments.
But that's what
also a concern.
Yeah, Paul raised earlier about you take Kane out the side as well, you just lose that almost someone in the pocket in the quarterback role, which Kane was doing and would also have. Yeah, it's such a huge miss. And Bentancur just hasn't really... Well, kicked on, really, I don't think. I probably think it's fair to say. So we don't have, you know, Madison, dare I say, as well, probably has not really kicked on since Christmas or even after that injury. So, you know, we all craved a lock picker, and now we're just going back to channel play and Werner and Johnson. And so, yeah, that is frustrating. Because
it's getting so bad now, you actually start saying, oh, I think the Celso and Holbio really should be getting a shout starting games.
Honestly,
because Holbio's done all right when he's come on.
Yeah,
Sarr was doing that job. Sarr was a decent screen. When he was, he was making up. So when Porro or a doggy would charge off, he had the pace and the athleticism to make up some of that ground and help Van de Ven out. Without him there, Bissouma doesn't cover the ground as well.
Mm.
And Bentancur, again, he's coming back from injury, but that's really not his game.
No.
So, you know, as I say, that's why that position in that system as a screen is just so key. And we haven't really got anybody. And he's proved it for the last three games. He's changed his whole midfield at halftime twice. And then the other day on 60 odd minutes, because he's more or less admitting he's not picked the right players, but he's just trying to find a system that works.
What about Skip? Do you think Skip should have been given a shout at this position? Oh, he gets around a bit.
Yeah, he's kind of gone out of favour a bit, hasn't he? Yeah, I mean, he was a six. He was great when he played. I mean, it was for Norwich in the Championship, but he was their player of the season. He was a great screen. Again, hasn't got lightning pace, and maybe he would be exposed in a system where your fullbacks are both playing as number 10s most of the time. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a really difficult one. The recruitment on this has got to be so right. You just need someone who's really athletic, very good on the ball, and they don't come cheap, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got the money, and I mean, you know, surely, as I said, whether it's Champions League or Europa League, they've got to really invest in this squad, and as you said, you bring a coach in like this, he's got one star, this is the way he plays, you've got to back him. You otherwise, what's the point of? I might as well be coach. It's ridiculous. Look, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the massive game against Woodridge Wanderers and delight in the women getting to their very, very first FA Cup final. Back in 1 minute.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back for the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show. Literally a couple of quid a month. Support the show in the process. You get a daily show with all the updates. Our monthly live shows have been well and truly up and running. If you haven't listened to our show with Paul Gascoigne, go and check that out. Wonderful, wonderful time we had with Gazza. And on May the 23rd at the 100 Club, we've got Danny Rose, Broadway Danny Rose, joining us on May 23rd. I've been doing... been starting to write all the questions. I mean, again, a man who was there under Redknapp and Sherwood and obviously Pochettino and Mourinho, the famous All or Nothing documentary. That's going to be a fascinating interview. One of our last long... Was that 14 years he was at Tottenham from a kid? So he is going to be absolutely brilliant to meet and listen to. Tickets from the link in the pod description, or just go to the huntryclub.co.uk website and get your tickets now. The seated and standing tickets. And also follow us on Facebook, X and Instagram, and leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. Next week, Theo's here with Paul Coit, Danny Fenton and Mariana Spring. So check that out next week. Did either of you watch the women's game on Sunday? I certainly did. Paul, did you watch it?
I was going out for lunch. I saw about 80 minutes of it.
Oh, okay.
And we just couldn't get the goal. I mean, it was a bit slightly less, actually, because I think we got it just 480, but it was quite hard going. We were not quite at it from what I'd seen of Spurs women before, and they were creating chances, not putting them away. And Leicester had that one goal lead.
Great goal.
As we pushed on, they were creating as well, but they found a way.
They did find a way. I mean, we didn't play.
It was a really good finish, honestly.
I've watched quite a bit this season, and the timing wasn't there. We kept giving the ball away, the turnaround, we just kept giving it away. And I was screaming. We had Jess Naz, who's our wide player, who was not having a good game. She was. Crosses were good.
If she'd been playing for Liverpool yesterday, they wouldn't have lost to Palace. Yeah. I mean, that was a clinical old finish.
But it was a fantastic, fantastic goal, brilliant finish. And then it looked like it was going into penalties. And I know Becky Spencer in goal did it against Man City in the last round, but you're thinking, oh, this go either way. And all of a sudden, literally with 2 minutes to go, we got the winner, which was...
Yeah, the keeper kind of came off her line and just presented that chance to lob it over her. So it was...
Martha Thomas got up there, and who's just come back from injury. And again, you forget with this team, we've got players there like Grace Clinton, who can't play on loan at Man United. We've got some good players there who have actually played in the FA Cup final before. The fact that Tottenham never done it. And then I watched the Chelsea-Man United game. Everyone thought, well, Chelsea will do it, our sort of hoodoo team in finals and stuff. And United did them. So I think that was the best of the two teams we could get. And I think we've got a very, very good chance on, I think it's May the 14th.
Yeah.
4:30. Certainly May the 14th. We've got a very, very good chance of lifting the FA Cup. Simon, do you follow the team at all?
I'm heavily conflicted in this because I'm actually an owner of Lewis women's team, which is my...
I didn't know that.
And Lewis are...
Wonderful marketing they have at Lewis.
Yeah,
we're
real trailblazers. We're the first team in the world to pay the men and women the same. So it's been incredible. But however, we are bottom of the championship. And this Sunday, Palace are coming to the dripping pan. And if we lose, we're going to get relegated. And
oh, dear. What's gone wrong there this season? What's been the problem?
Well, the problem really is that budgets are tight. But the real problem is that what's happening in football now, which is a great thing, I suppose, is that men's teams are basically investing in their club's women's side, which really has a club like Lewis. It obviously has a men's team in the eighth tier of English football. Doesn't happen. So you've got teams coming through the pyramid that are being propped up by the men's team and can just get all the best players. And so at Lewis, we don't have that. And so, yeah, we've got Palace at home on Sunday, which we if we lose, we drop into third tier, which effectively means the club lose close to £500,000 in budget and players will become amateurs. So, yeah, my
wow.
It's typical. Suddenly Tottenham have something successful and I'm not following it. But
Will anyone out there who lives in and around Lewis, get down there and support them.
Yeah, I just wonder what happens, Simon, when they drop out of the Women's Championship. What is it, become regional? How does it work?
No, still, there is a third tier. But even in that, you've got historically big football clubs from the Championship and League One who are in that, who are being £500,000 or £1 million to support the women's team, which means they can pay proper salaries, whereas the Lewis team will go part-time. And so, yeah, it's been an amazing few years sort of with the journey. I mean, we lost to Manu in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup last season, actually, at home. We had 3,500 people in. So it's been a great journey. But, yeah, it's sort of, yeah, I maybe if they do drop into the third tier, I can actually then become a Tottenham women's fan. Don't mention that in East Sussex.
Well, they've got no rivalry because they're not in the same division.
Exactly.
So you can support different teams.
Exactly.
I just like to give a bigs up to two of my teams. One of my local teams, Wingate and Finchley, doing really, really well. They're in the playoffs of the history of Premier League. And my Scottish team I followed for many years, Stenhouse Muir. Won the Scottish second division. First time they've ever won a title in 140 years. 140 years, never won a title. And they've done it. Wonderful. Well,
you and Michael Palin, Mike. The two Mikes. Michael Palin
is a Steny fan. That's right. Yeah.
He sent him a well done message.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Oh, that's lovely. So, well done to them. For those of you who are going to think, all right, I'm going to go and get the tickets. Again, the way that works the Women's FA Cup, people have sort of bagged most of the tickets a while
It's
back.
A bit like the Rugby League Challenge Cup. They're basically, they get snapped up by people that love women's football for the occasion. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's brilliant. It's like they've sold out, which is amazing. But it does mean if you're a Tottenham or United fan, want to try and pick one up now, I think it's only hospitality left. There might be some kicking around, but it's different. You know, people have snapped up the tickets, but hopefully there'll be some Spurs and United. I think this is the first time since 2005 or 2003 that City, Arsenal or Chelsea have not been in the final.
Wow.
So United lost it last year to Chelsea 1-0. So it's great. It's great for Spurs to be there. I'm sure had absolutely the tickets not sold out, a lot of Spurs fans would have gone along.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure there'll be some on the black market and, Spurs fans. We don't mind pulling up a few quid to go and see our teams. So I'm sure that'll happen again, Well, the other thing we need to talk about, but actually, before we talk about the Woodish game coming up, just want a quick plug for Steve Perriman. Steve is doing an event for charity in the Algarve. For those of you go out the summit in Amundsen on June the 12th, for a local charity. Tickets are just €25. It's like 20 quid. So if, like a lot of our listeners, you go out to the Algarve or live there, if you email Tony Pickering, tp@tonypickering.co.uk, there's a really special night on June the 12th. I'll be there with Steve Perriman. It's only like very intimate, like 20, 30 people. It will be a great night. June the 12th, Algarve, Stevie P. Paul, obviously, putting our result aside, also what happened on the weekend, very surprisingly, Liverpool lost to Palace after the wretched against Atalanta. And all the Arsenal fans were baying down the Holloway Road. This is it. This is their moment. Their awful anthem written by some idiot of a fan. Ale, ale, ale. Just awful plastic club. Plastic fans. Just shocking. They're almost celebrating before they even kicked off against Villa, who are a good team. And Villa absolutely did a job on them. Yeah. And it was extraordinary to watch 82 minutes, the stadium clear. And there was still 8 minutes. Basically, people left 20 minutes before the game finished. Quite extraordinary. And now, okay, before we play them, they've got three games. They're playing Bayern Munich, They've got two games, I think.
Wolves. They play Wolves and they play Chelsea. And then they play us.
Wow. Yeah. You know, so we, I mean, do you think this week off for Tottenham will help us to regroup and surely it's got to go in our favour, isn't it?
Well, if they're drilled by Milan Jelinek for about 12 hours a day, possibly, you know, because we know how good they are at set pieces, so we know that's a weapon for them. I don't know. I mean, Ange Postecoglou has kept saying he can't stand the fact we're missing games. All the players yesterday, I mean, Peter Crouch on Saturday was saying, I think, you know, if you're a player, you want to play the following day after you've been beaten to put it right. So I'm not sure whether four games in 2 weeks or no games in 2 weeks is the best option. I suppose it depends how you use that 2 weeks. Hopefully, I mean, you know, I don't think he's honing the system. I think
there's any kind of plan B with him.
No, I don't think so. I don't notice that. Even, you know, at 2-1 up, he never sits back. You know, I mean, again, Perry Groves was saying today, sometimes in a game, you've just got to do what Villa did. Villa, they just dropped 10, 15 yards back defensively, and we're just canny about it. But that's not the way Ange wants to do it. So whether we like it or not, we've got a manager who has that system, and he'll always be on the front foot and he'll always try and outscore you. And as I said, it's a thing of beauty when it works. It's just when it doesn't. I mean, we're going to, you know, it'll be a very different game. I don't think Arsenal will be a back three turning into a back five every time we cross the halfway line the way Newcastle were. Well, that was effective. Yeah. Arsenal will go toe-to-toe with us, and generally...
Arsenal need to win. Arsenal need to win now. It's looking at the league table, I think even if they got a draw against Villa, it wouldn't have been that much of a disaster. But now I think they really can't afford, assuming that City... I think City's game on paper next looks relatively straightforward. I can't remember they've got now.
Most of their games are relatively straightforward.
You know, it's going to be an extraordinary atmosphere there, Simon. You know, I remember that two seasons ago, one of the last games, that midweek game when we did them in the Champions League, 3-0, one of the greatest Tottenham games at the Lane in many a year. And then last season, they absolutely did a job on us, and I have to say, absolutely deserved to beat us, and we were shocking. Yeah. No fight. It was just sort of the dark days of Conte. I mean, there's got to be a reaction. The fans are going to get behind them. We've got to sort of, you know, okay, play the Postecoglou way, but play it right and have a right go, surely.
Yeah, I think weirdly we could be quite in that defeat yesterday for them. I think may lend itself to us being quite relaxed going into that game. You know, if they don't pick up 6 points in the next two league games before they come to us, they really will be on the brink, if not out of it. We've got, I think, still a 10-point cushion. Or admittedly, going into that game, it might be four, but still, that is a cushion. So I think it's not a game where I think it's fair to say that we're not really fighting for fourth because it's a bit out of reach. I don't know. I mean, not that the players be thinking that, but I feel like
we've got this game in hand, so haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, from our point of view, it's a really high tension game, and sometimes when you go into those games and the players are a bit more relaxed, you get a better performance.
Mm. Paul, what's your gut feel? I know it's a couple of weeks away, and a lot can happen in football in a couple of weeks.
I mean, they've got so many games; it's difficult. No, if they get knocked out the Champions League,
they go on Wednesday.
Maybe get a draw. They end up, you know, you know what a scrap it's going to be against Chelsea, and Chelsea have been raising their game against good sides, so that could easily be a draw. Chelsea could win. So it depends what if they've seen off Wolves, they've seen off Chelsea. Mm. Maybe they've got through the Champions League. They're going to come with a real swagger feeling. It's back on. I think a lot does depend on the performances between now and then. They could pick up some injuries. They could be really leggy
by the time they get to us mentally and physically.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very hard game to judge without knowing what goes on in their games, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's going to be... you never enjoy them. You endure these North London derbies. I don't think...
You get an early goal, they're enjoyable, don't they? If you're
saying, oh, it's too early. We've just annoyed them now.
The only one I enjoyed was that 3-0 because it was all over. Pretty much all over pretty quickly.
The second half, yeah.
They're the best.
Exactly. Simon, you've got anything coming up? Anything you'd like to plug and tell everyone about?
Not especially. I mean, one thing I would like to mention is the reason I did miss the game on Saturday. I'm currently training for a 380-kilometre foot race across the Welsh mountains later this year, which I'm doing for charity. So I'm fundraising for Greenhouse Sports and Guardian Rugby Works, which are two children's-based charities. So, yeah, in September, I've got a six-day foot race across. It's called the Dragon's Back. So, yeah, if you could link up my Just Giving page, that'd be amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when you're doing that, we're absolutely
taking up a bit of my time at weekends, which means I miss Spurs, which some people actually on Twitter were mentioning, which is more painful. But, yeah.
Mm. Amazing. And, Paul, you got anything coming up? Anything you'd like to let the listener know about?
No, I'm fine. I just keep kicking along. Me and Andy and Charlie Baker still on TalkSport 5 days a week.
I was listening last week. Is Andy still doing the same show? Has he been moved to another time?
No, he does 3 days a week now, as opposed to Charlie Baker does two. Andy does three. His wife sadly had a stroke about two years ago, and he kind of cut back his days to spend more time with her. Oh, but he still does Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. Charlie does Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Perry's popped up for a few shifts. You imagine that was fun today with Perry Groves after what happened at the weekend. He's not given up. He says he thinks Man City have got a draw in them. He still thinks they've got a draw in them.
So. Against who? Maybe
I don't know. Possibly us. Yeah, imagine that, as we said, handing them the title.
I think we'll literally throw it. I think fans will be baying for us to throw a game. I remember, what was that game we played?
It was Old Trafford, wasn't it? It was Man U.
Old Trafford, and we took the lead.
Les scored.
And there was silence at our end. It was like,
oh no.
What have we done? We don't want to win. Yeah, that was a weird one. That was a weird normal surface of Zoom resumed, I remember.
Yeah.
But, oh my God. Yeah, that was very scary. I think, you know, last season they weren't expected to do it, but I think this season, the way they've done, this will be a major implosion if they don't win the title this season. That's what I think. And I really hope they don't, because I really don't like them, most of their supporters. You know, I can't help it. It's in your DNA to hate them. You know, it is. What can you do? Well, look, thank you so much for your time, Paul. Thank you much for your time, Simon.
Thank you.
Lovely to chew the fat over what's been going on.
Cathartic, isn't it, after a defeat?
It is cathartic. It's like a support group.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I know. So thank you, everyone at home. Hope you've enjoyed this week's show. As I said, next week, Theo's here with Paul Coit, Danny Fenton and Mariana Spring. So go and check that out. And don't forget, get your tickets now for our end of season show at the 100 Club on Oxford Street. There'll be a raffle, quiz, comedy, music. It's always a great, great social just to pop down, have a few beers and see some mates. And it'll be even more special this year with Danny Rose, who is only 33. I mean, I still think he could play left back now. I think he would actually get into Tottenham's team now if he got himself fit and back in that team. And I think it would work very well in that system. No, I might get on the phone to Postecoglou, put a word in for him. Anyway, that's it. We're back next week. Until then, come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.